And take your Bibles, if you would, this morning. Let's go to the book of Matthew. We thank you so much for being here this morning. And I pray that God would just move in your heart through His Word today. Matthew chapter 7. We're going to continue on our next passage in our series on the Sermon on the Mount. We've entitled Real Christianity. I want you to look in Matthew chapter 7. I'm only going to read two verses this morning, verses 13 and 14. Jesus still preaching. If you find your place in the Word of God, we'd ask you to stand now. Let's honor the reading of God's Holy Word. Jesus says, "Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth to life, and few there be that find it." Let's pray this morning. Father, we thank you for your holy and inspired word. Now, Lord, I pray, Father, that as we come into the preaching of your holy word, Lord, I pray right now, Father, that you would focus our minds, our ears, and our eyes upon the word of God today. Lord, I pray, Father, that the devil be put aside today. Lord, we come against him in the name of Jesus, Lord, knowing that greater is he that is within us than he that is within the world. And the devil would love to get our mind and our eyes upon everything else, Father. But today I pray, help us, Lord, to focus entirely upon the Word of God. Lord, I pray that we would understand, Lord, that there are two gates, Father. There is a choice that must be made. And Lord, I pray today that you would use us, Lord, to preach your word of God. I pray that you would help us, Lord, with wisdom from above to rightly divide the word of truth. And I need your anointing today to preach, Lord, knowing within myself I don't have the ability to accomplish anything for your glory. But Lord, I know, Father, that through your Holy Ghost, Lord, that Father Jesus Christ can be glorified above all. Lord, I pray if there's one here today that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, I pray, Lord, that they would visualize in their mind's eye, Lord, today that they stand before two gates. One is a broad gate, Lord, and there's a lot of folks going down that broad gate. But Lord, there's also a straight gate and a narrow way. And the Bible said that way leads unto life, but there's only a few that go that path. Lord, I pray, help them today to make a choice today, Father, to walk in through that straight gate and begin the process down the narrow path. Lord, I pray that they would come today and receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their lives, knowing, Lord, that the other path, Father, leads to destruction. Oh, Lord, I pray, head them off at the pass today. Lord, we don't want to see their lives end in destruction. Lord, I pray, draw them by the power of your Spirit. Use us for your glory and honor, and we'll love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. You know, there's a lot of choices that we make in life. And some choices that we make are kind of inconsequential in among themselves. You know, it really didn't matter a whole lot what color suit maybe we wore in today. It doesn't really matter exactly what color the pants were that we wore. It doesn't really matter a whole lot necessarily about what you ate this morning or whether you did eat necessarily before you came in this morning. It those things really are not all that consequential in the grand scheme of things. But there are some choices that have very great consequences to them that require the leading of the Holy Ghost, that require God to move upon the heart of man. We read a wedding invitation today. That is something that should be prayed about, something that should be led of God. That should be something that you know, and I've never heard the audible voice of God, but that'll be something so close to the audible voice of God that you can't mistake what's going on in that. And you know what? Because these are lifelong decisions that have to be made, and these have great consequences to them if they're made right. They bring joy and happiness and peace for long term. But if they're made with a wrong decision is made, it can bring consequences that will last throughout life. And it seems like a lot of heartache and hurt. And you know what? There's the greatest choice of all that we have to make is the choice of the gates of eternity. And that's what I want to preach about this morning by the help of the Lord, is I want to preach a sermon on the gates of eternity. Because the Bible said there are two gates. The Bible said there's a straight gate. And then the Bible said that there is a broad gate. And folks, we need to understand that there is a choice to be made. And some folks will say this right here. They'll say, well, you know what? I won't make a choice. You know what? I'm not gonna stand against Jesus. I'm not gonna stand against the church. I'm not gonna stand against the things of God, but I'm not going to choose Jesus for myself. If you want Him, that's okay. If you like to live that life, that's fine. If you want to do your own thing with God and go to church and have all this religion and carry your Bible and all these other things, then you just go right ahead. And a lot of folks believe that not making a decision is okay, and that simply just puts them on a level playing field. But can I tell you folks right now that the Bible said, Jesus said this, He said, if someone is not for me, then he's against me. We must understand there is no such thing as not making a choice. You will make a choice in this life. You'll choose heaven or you'll choose hell. You'll choose salvation or you'll choose damnation. Folks, there is a choice to be made, and either way, we're going to make a choice in this life. And folks, I want you to look at the gates of eternity, because real Christianity understands some things about these gates. The first thing is that these gates require is a personal decision. Jesus said in verse number 13, He said, enter ye in. Ye being singular, He's talking to us as individuals. And He said, the gate here is a straight gate. It's a narrow way. But I want you to enter in through that gate. You must make the choice to enter in. Entering means, in essence, it's a word of progress. It's a word that says, I've got a starting place right here, but the gate is right here, and I've got to make the choice whether or not I'm going to take and make progress and enter in through that gate. Notice Jesus is not standing there pulling somebody through the gate. Notice that there's no assistance as far as going through that. There's no forcefulness on God's part. The choice lies in man. The choice lies in you and I today as to whether or not we're saved. The choice lies in you and I today as to whether we'll accept this one named Jesus that died on the cross of Calvary. See, folks, your sins have already been paid for. That's not a question of it right there. Your sins have already been forgiven. That's not a question of it right there. Everything was paid for on Calvary. All that's left to do is for you to make the choice. All that's left to do is for you to take a step of faith and enter in through the straight gate. That's all that's left for you and I today. And those of us that are saved, we've walked through that straight gate. But those of us today that are not saved, we're still waiting. God is still waiting for you to make that choice for Him. He is long-suffering, the Bible says, not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to repentance. God loved you so much that He sent Jesus Christ, His only begotten Son, to die for your sins on Calvary's cross. He paid your penalty. He paid your price. And all He's asking for you today is make a choice for Jesus. The Bible says this in the Old Testament, in the book of Deuteronomy. In Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse number 19, Moses, speaking for God, says, I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. Folks, there's a mindset today that people think that everybody's just going to go to heaven. That, you know what, as long as I just live a certain way and I ain't so bad and all these things, then everybody's going to go on to hell. Let me tell you, the only people that go to heaven are the ones that choose Jesus. If you don't choose Jesus, you don't make it to heaven. If you don't choose Jesus, you don't stand before God and hear, well done, enter thou into good and faith, enter thou into the joys of thy Lord. You'll never hear those things until you choose Jesus. And God said, I've set before you a choice. You think about that, church. If God has set before you and I a choice today, And he says, on this side's life. Here's life right here. And I want you to look at all that life entails. See, I already said this morning, Jesus came that you might have life and that you might have life more abundantly. God didn't come to provide you with some old drug out, just humdrum life, but God has come to give you an abundant life that is by the Lord Jesus Christ. And you know what? He says, not only do you have all the blessings of this life, because even when things are falling apart around you, He said, I'll give you a peace that passes all understanding. Even when it seems like everybody else is fighting depression, He said, I'll give you a joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. Even when everybody else is fighting sickness and sin, He said, I forgive you of all of your iniquities and healeth you of all of thy diseases. See, that's what God does for you in this life already. And then on top of that, He said, I've given you my word, and it's a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path. And He said, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Hallelujah. And it'll take you all the way to glory. He said, that's what I've done for you in this life. And then on top of all of that, He said, I've grown to prepare a place for you, that where I am, there you may be also. He said, my Father's house are many mansions. He said, if it wasn't so, I wouldn't have told you. Aren't you glad? See, He gives you something greater on the other side of this thing. A place where there's no more sickness. A place where there's no more heartache. A place where there's no more pain or suffering. No more tears will ever dim the eye. God has provided that. And He said, that's the first choice. And you say, well, who wouldn't want that choice? And then there's the second choice. He said, I've set before you death. He says, hey, look at this. He said, you can live your life in death. He said, because the Bible says in Ephesians 2 and 1, we're all dead. Those of us that are not saved, we're all dead in trespasses and in sin. We can walk in this life dead. We don't have that joy that's unspeakable and full of glory. We don't have the promise that God has forgiven us of our sins. We don't have peace, because the Bible said, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God. We can't lay our head down and pillow at night and know beyond a shadow of a doubt if we died, we're on our way to heaven. We're always worrying about, did I do enough? We're always worrying about, have I been good enough? Always worried about whether or not I did something wrong, all these other things. And then you don't have all that stuff. And then you don't have the peace that floods in when heartaches and trials and tribulations come your way. Then there's nothing to fall back on. There's nothing to grab hold of. When sickness comes your way, there's no promise of healing, because there's no God that heals. And all these. And then on top of all of that, there's a place called hell. A place called hell for those that refuse to choose Jesus. A place called hell for those who will not enter in that straight gate. A place called hell where there's weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth, and where the flames are never quenched, and where the worm dieth not. And the Bible says it's a place of outer darkness. It's a place where you'll never see anything ever again. Somebody said, well, you know what? I'll just go to hell and I'll be with all of my friends and everybody else. Let me tell you something. You won't ever lay one eye on any of them, because it's a place of outer darkness. You'll never see the first friend, because there won't be any friends in a place called hell. If you ever didn't meet up with somebody, they'll gnash their teeth on you and say, why didn't you tell me about Jesus? And they'll gnash their teeth on you and say, you know what? If you'd have just been the one to tell me, I wouldn't be in a place like this. And the Bible says, not only is it a place of outer darkness, it's a place where it's a bottomless pit and it's constantly just falling and falling and falling and falling and falling, head over heels falling, just getting further and further and further away from the one that could have saved you. No hope for eternity. No help for eternity. Never again to have joy. Never again to have peace. Never again to see another loved one. Never again to experience fellowship. Never again to know what anything good is all about. Now, let me ask you a question. Who would want that? God said, I set before you life. We already saw how wonderful that is. He said, I set before you death. And we saw how horrible that is. And you say, preacher, who in the world would choose that second one? If God had placed that first, even if God didn't place the first one, who would want to choose the second one? Countless, countless millions do. Why? Because the Bible said they love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. Hey, there are people today that will die and enter into a place called hell, and they'll never make a choice for Jesus Christ. You say, preacher, I don't believe in hell. God didn't ask you if you believed in it or not. Can I tell you right now, everybody that's there believes in it. Preacher, I don't like hellfire and brimstone preaching. You better take that up with Jesus. He preached twice as much on hell as He ever did on heaven. Hey, He said, enter in at the straight gate. See, folks, there's a personal decision that must be made. Joshua said, hey, you know what? He said, choose you this day whom you'll serve. We need to choose today because you don't have a promise of tomorrow. You don't have a promise of the next hour. Brother Tom was telling me about his wife's brother-in-law. You know what? Just went out onto the porch and found him sitting there dead, evidently of a heart attack. Let me tell you something. You don't have a promise of the next day. You say, well, I'm healthy. I think I'm all right. Let me tell you something. You don't know what's going to happen in the next 5 minutes. You don't know when that old heart will stop. You don't know when something happens. You don't know if there's a blood clot that's floating in your blood system that might land in that lung or in that brain. You don't know if that's there or not. You don't know if you drive out of here, if you'll meet a drunk driver on the road and he's going to swerve over on the wrong side, hit you head on, and the best you could hope for is a horrible injury. You don't know what the next day is going to hold. That's why the Bible says that we need to make this choice today, because now is the accepted time. Why, preacher? Why is now the accepted time? Because now you're alive. Right now you have the ability to choose. Right now you have the prospect of eternal life. Right now salvation is still a possibility. But once that coroner closes that casket down on you, there is no more opportunity of salvation. Once you beat your last heartbeat, once you take your last breath, and once that soul departs from this body of flesh, there is no other opportunity. You may go find a Catholic priest and pay him everything you've got to get him to pray you out of hell, and all you're going to have is a rich priest, and you're still going to be found in a place called hell. Why in the world would I want to go pay somebody to get me out of hell when Jesus paid it all already? Can I tell you, the choice is yours and mine. The choice is yours and mine. Folks, it's a personal decision. Now, not only do we see a personal decision, but we also see a paramount division. We see a paramount division. Let me show you, there's differences in these gates, folks. There's differences in these gates. And I want you to see the differences. One gate is slender. The Bible says it's a straight gate. That word straight in the Greek, it means narrow. It means slender. It almost means confined almost. I mean, it's very narrow. And you know what that tells me about that gate? That tells me we ain't gonna drag everything with us through that gate. See, that gate's only big enough for you to get through. Somebody says, well, you know what? I made a profession one time and I can just live any way out. And let me tell you something, you did not. You never got saved. Because when you walk through that gate, you don't drag that baggage through that gate. That baggage falls off of you when you go through that gate. Hallelujah. I'm telling you right now, I just believe when a man gets saved or a woman gets saved, their whole life changes. Brother Ward, I believe their desires change, brother. I believe they left them at the gate, brother. It's on the outside. I remember going down to Tampa, Florida one time, and we were going to go down to see a Tampa Bay Devil Rays game. I was taking my son, and we thought we'd be smart, because y'all know when you go into these theme parks, parks and ball fields and stuff, the concessions are like super high price, and you can't afford to get any of that once you've got your tickets. So we thought we'd be smart. We stopped at the store on the way, got us bottles of water and all kinds of good stuff. Here we go walking up to the front gate. We got our tickets. We paid for entrance to get in there. Brother Ward, I got up there that gate, and that lady looked at me. She said, you can't take that in here. I said, why can't I take that in here? She said, you're not allowed to bring drinks and food and everything in here. I said, well, I don't want to buy anything on the inside. That's too expensive. And she said, it doesn't matter. You're not getting into this game until you get rid of all that stuff. And let me tell you what we had to do. We had to get rid of all that stuff, or we wasn't going to get in to see the game. Let me tell you something. A lot of people believe they're going to take all this trash to heaven with them. Let me tell you something, folks. You better get rid of all that trash before you ever get there, because you're not going to enter in that place with all that trash. You've got to go through the straight gate, and it's just narrow enough to get you through it. Because the Bible said, if the righteous scarcely be saved, what shall be the sentence upon the sinner? Hey, let me show you something. Let me show you something in the Word of God. In Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 24. The Bible says this. Jesus again said this. Red lettered in your Bible. If you've got one of those, let you know Jesus said it. Verse 24 says, "Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall it." Well, I got saved, but I'm just going to keep living like I always have. No, that's not what it said. He said, "For whosoever shall save his life shall lose it." Hey, let me tell you something. You don't get saved like that, folks. There's got to be a repentance that happens. And he said, "And whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it." Well, preacher, I don't want to give this up. I don't want to give that up. I don't want to stop hanging out with this guy. I don't want to stop hanging out. I've got to give up my boyfriend. I've got to give up my girlfriend. I can't keep going out with this person. Hey, the Bible says, "For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" Let me tell you something right now. What is that one worth to you that's worth more than what Jesus did? Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. What is that old habit or that old desire worth to you more than what Jesus already did? Well, preacher, I'm afraid if I get saved, I ain't going to be able to do this stuff no more. I ain't going to be able to keep going here and keep doing that and won't have the same kind. Let me tell you something. You'll find something far greater than anything they can offer you. You'll all of a sudden realize that, hey, you know what I learned when I got saved? I just do everything I want to do. And you know what I want to do is not what I used to want to do. All of a sudden, what I used to want to do, I used to all the time go here and do that and do this and do that. But you know what? When I came to Jesus, all that stuff changed. And you know what? All of a sudden, I started wanting to do other things. I didn't even want to go to church before I got saved. But now I love getting up and going to the house of God. I didn't care if we ever sung a Christian song or not. Bless God, you won't find anything else on my radio anymore than gospel music. Let me tell you something right now. I just believe a man will change when he goes through that straight gate. Hey, let me tell you something. You remember that old boy came unto Jesus? And you don't have to turn here with me. I'm just going to read it right here real quickly. You remember that old boy came to Jesus? And when he was gone forth in the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, "Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said unto him, "Why callest thou me good? There is none but one. There's none good but one, that is God." He said, "Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill, steal, bear false witness, defraud not. Honor thy father and mother." And the boy said and answered unto him, "Master, all these have I observed from my youth." Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him and said unto him, "One thing thou lack." You got to get rid of something here, buddy. You ain't going through this gate with this baggage. He said, "Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come and take up the cross and follow me." And he was sad at that saying and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. You know what that tells us? Not everything is going through the gate. Not everything's going through the gate. Folks, this is a slender gate. And then there's a second gate. And the second gate's a spacious gate. It's a spacious gate. The Bible says it's broad. It's a broad gate, the Bible says. It's wide, he says. Wide gate and broad way. He says this thing's wide. It's spacious. And you know what it has room for? Everything. It's got room for everything. And the Bible said that's where the majority of everybody's headed down that road. And you know what that road says? That road says, hey, you know what? If you want to be a Christian, that's fine. Go ahead and walk this way. If you want to be a Muslim, that's fine. Go ahead and walk this way. If you want to be a Catholic, that's fine. Go ahead and walk this way. If you want to be a Hindu, that's fine. Go ahead and walk this way. If you want to be a Hare Krishna, that's fine. Go ahead and walk this way. Because you know what? Hey, broad is the way. And you know what? We're just all going to go down that way. And you can just bring all the baggage you want with you. Nothing has to change. Nothing's got to stop. You can drag it all through. There's plenty of room for everybody. Just keep on living the way you've always lived. Just keep on with the same desires. Just keep on with the same things in your life. And just walk on down this way. Let me tell you something, folks. It's got room for a lot of people. Let me tell you the people that it's got room for. It's got room for the decadent people. The people that's living in sin. According to a CBS News report, I studied this out. More than 10 billion $1 billion per year is spent in the U.S. on adult entertainment and pornography. $10 billion a year. Now, and on top of that, every year in the United States, there's more than $128 billion spent on alcoholic drinks every year in the United States. Folks, let me tell you something. We got missionaries on the field struggling to get their every last dollar just to try to stay on the field. Struggling just to try to find somebody that will support them. Struggling just to try to get somebody that might give them a little faith offering once a month. Struggling to keep them children's home going. Struggling to do all these things when there's $128 billion a year going to alcoholic beverages and another $10 billion on top of that going to pornography and adult entertainment. Let me tell you something. This way is broad. Let me tell you who's going there. The decadent people are on that path. Yeah, preacher, that's right. Yeah, them old dirty, rotten, filthy people. They're on that path. Get them on out there. Yeah, they're going to hell. Let me show you who else is going on that path. Decent people are going on that path. Decent people are going on that path. The Bible says this just a little bit further down in Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. And we'll preach on this a little bit later on. Give you a little preview. The Bible says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, I want you to look how decent these people are. Look how decent they are. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils? And in thy name done many wonderful works? Folks, these are decent people. These aren't the people spending money on booze. These aren't the people spending money on pornography. These aren't the people that's out here living in an ungodly, sinful lifestyle by yours and my standard. But folks, these are decent people. The Bible says, and they even say, Lord, Lord, we done all this for you. And Jesus said in verse 23, and then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. What was their problem? They never made a choice. Folks, there's decent people on this planet. There's not just decadent people. There's decent people. Hey, Brother Jeff, we talked about this in Sunday school, Luke chapter 18. Look at this. Here's you another decent person right here. Two men went up into the temple to pray in Luke 18 and 10. The one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are. I'm decent, he says. I'm decent. I'm not an extortioner. I'm not unjust. I'm not an adulterer. And I even as this publican, I fast twice a week. And I give tithes of all that I possess. Decent he was. Good, decent fella. Doing all, seemingly, all the right things. The old publican, standing afar off, would not so much as lift up his eyes into heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Here's the decadent man. In verse 14, Jesus said, I tell you, this man, meaning the publican, went to his house justified rather than the other. Who's on this broad path? Not just decadent people, but decent people are on this path. Who else is on this path? There's somebody else on this broad path. Deceived people are on this broad path. People that are deceived thinking that everything's right. People that are deceived thinking that they're on the right path. People that are deceived thinking that they've been saved and they're not. People that are deceived thinking they're living right and they're not. People deceived. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse number 12, the Bible says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Folks, there are deceived people going down this road of life. Well, I've been in church all my life, but let me tell you something. Did you make a choice for Jesus? Well, I've been tithing since I've been old enough to work. Well, did you make a choice for Jesus? Well, I don't go out here and commit adultery. I don't go out here and do all. I'm not an extortion. Hey, have you made a choice for Jesus or not? Let me tell you something. There's a lot of folks right now that's running around deceived. All them folks that were saying, Lord, Lord, that didn't enter into the kingdom of heaven, they were deceived people. They thought they were doing the right thing. They thought they had it right. But God said, I never knew you. Hey, he's what he told him. He said, you've never made a choice for me. And there's a lot of folks today that's going to stand before God And God is going to say, depart from me, ye worker of iniquity. Wait a minute, God, but I did this for you, and I did this in your name, and I did that. No, you didn't do it for me. You did it for yourself because you never chose me. There's deceived people on this route. Hey, folks, let me tell you something. There's a paramount division between this route. And then there's a particular direction. See, one of them is an exclusive way. One's an exclusive way because the Bible said narrow is the way. Folks, it's exclusive. There's only one way. And it's a narrow way. Preacher, you're just one of them old narrow-minded Baptist preachers. You better believe I am. It's narrow. Straight is the gate and narrow is the way. I'm as narrow-minded as the Bible lets me be. Let me tell you something. You want to know why? Because I know who the gate is. Let me tell you something. I know this gate ain't a door that just we just hinge, puts on a hinge and we open up and close. Hey, let me tell you something. That's just symbolic of who the gate is. The Bible says in John chapter 10 and verse number 9, Jesus red lettered again, said, I am the door. But by me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Let me tell you something. I'm as narrow-minded as I can be about this because I know who the gate is. The Bible says in John 14 and 6, the Bible says, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Well, preacher, I'm a member of the church. No man come to the Father but by Jesus. But preacher, I tithe and give. No man comes to the Father but by... But preacher, I show up on Sunday morning. No man come to the Father but... But preacher, I give to charities and I do all kinds of social works and I do all kinds... No man comes to the Father but by me, he said. Folks, this is a narrow way. It's narrow. But look at the other way. Look at the other way. It's a tolerant way. Because the Bible says broad is the way. Folks, a lot of liberals would like to rewrite the Scripture in verse number 6. Where Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. They'd love to tell you that it really means I am one of the ways. And I am part of the truth. And I'm a certain portion of the life. And you know what? Anybody can come to the Father. They can go through me or they can go some other way. But always lead to the same place. You've heard the old saying, all roads lead to Rome. Let me tell you something. There's a lot of roads lead to hell today. But there's only one road that leads to heaven. And Jesus is the door of that road. Folks, it's a particular direction. And then lastly and finally, we see a permanent destination. A permanent destination. Folks, there's no way out of eternity. There's no do-overs in eternity. There's no, well, God, I made a mistake and I changed my mind. There's none of that in eternity. The Bible tells us of a rich man that died and lifted up his eyes in torments in hell. And he looked up and he saw old Lazarus sitting up in Abraham's bosom. And the Bible said that rich man was tormented in the flames. And he said, hey Abraham, just let Lazarus just stick his finger, just touch the water and bring me a drop of water and touch it to my tongue. He said, for I'm tormented in these flames. And old Abraham said, hey rich man, don't you remember in this life that you just had, you had all the good things of life. And old poor old Lazarus here, he never had all them good things. Things never went well for him like it did you. But now look at him. He's comforted while thou art tormented. And that old fellow said, yeah, but Abraham, you don't understand. He said, I've got brothers that are left behind in this world. He said, why don't you just send Lazarus after them that he can go preach to them. Tell them don't come to this place. And he said, hey, he said, even if one was raised from the dead, he said, they still wouldn't believe him anyway. Folks, there's no do-overs after this life. Folks, it's a permanent destination. I want you to look at these destinations. See, you go down one path. You go that straight gate and that narrow path, and it leads you to a thrilling end. Because the Bible says it leads unto life, and few there be that find it. Folks, this path leads you to a thrilling end. Oh, I'm waiting for the day. And I don't know about anybody else, but I'm waiting for the day that I'm going to be able to kneel down at my Savior's feet. And whatever crowns I may accumulate in this life, I'll be able to lay them down at the Savior's feet. And I'll be able to rejoice with the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll be able to sing a song with that heavenly choir that the angels cannot sing. Hallelujah. I'll be able to sing the song of the redeemed. And I'll tell you right now, I know He said that I've gone to prepare a place. There's a mansion for you. I don't care, to be honest with you, if I ever go into that mansion or not. All I want to do is just hang around at my Savior's feet. I don't ever want to leave His side. I want to be there for all eternity and just grab hold of Him and say, my God, thank You. I was a wretch. I was a sinner. Oh, but You saved me by Your precious blood. You washed me and made me whiter than snow. Hallelujah. What a thrilling end it's going to be when I hear Jesus say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. Come, I'll make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord. Hallelujah. What a thrilling day that's going to be. Glory to God. Whew. Glory to God. What a thrilling end. The Bible says, eyes have not seen, ears have not heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man what God has prepared for those that love Him. You say, preacher, I just can't imagine what heaven's going to be like. Brother Jesse, what's that next verse say after that, though? I can. You mean you're going to know what heaven's like? To a point. Because it says eyes haven't seen, ears haven't heard, hadn't entered into the heart of man. It means I can't imagine how good heaven's going to be. But you know what that next verse says? It said God has revealed that to us by His Spirit. Brother, I can understand what heaven's going to be like. Glory to God, because the Spirit of God has revealed things unto me. I can understand the glories of heaven. I can understand the joys of being with Jesus. Hallelujah. I know what it's going to be like to stand there face to face with Him. I believe I'll be just like old John. I'll see Him face to face and I'll just fall down at His feet as a dead man. And that's alright if I lay there at His feet for a million years. Glory to God. I'll just lay there. Hallelujah. I'll just be a good Free Will Baptist. I'll wash His feet with my tears. Bless God. Hallelujah. And I'll see the scars on His feet. Glory to God. And I'll thank Him for all that He did. Folks, it's going to be a thrilling end. But you know what? To those that go the other gate, that broad gate, that wide path, folks, it leads to a tragic end. Because the Bible says it leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. What a tragic end. To know that Jesus Christ has done everything necessary to make sure you and I can go to a place called heaven and miss the horrible place called hell. To know that Jesus has done it all and us still miss heaven is nothing more than a tragic end. Isaiah chapter 5, my last scripture, and I'm done. In Isaiah chapter 5. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink, that continue until night, till wine inflame them, and the harp, and the vial, the tabret, the pipe, and wine are in their feasts, but they regard not the work of the Lord, neither consider the operation of His hands. Therefore my people are gone into captivity, because they have no knowledge. And their honorable men are famished, and their multitude dried up with thirst. And listen to verse 14 and hear this verse good. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. And their glory and their multitude and their pomp, and he that rejoiceth shall descend into it. They thought they were having a good time. They thought everything was good. They're enjoying life. And the tabrets and the harps and everything. It's just enjoying it all. The wine and the bright lights and the good times and the friends and those that you see. Oh, everybody's just having a wonderful time. And why do I need this Jesus? See, they regard not the work of God. Why do I need this Jesus? And the Bible said hell every day has to enlarge itself because so many people die and go to that awful place. Can I leave this with you as I'm done? You read over in the book of Revelation, you see this new city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven. Four square city. And it has dimensions. John even tells us what the dimensions of the city is. The walls, everything, it's just a nice big cube, just a big square. And you know what? You never read in the Bible that place ever has to enlarge itself. But we never hear the dimensions of hell in the Bible. We don't know how big that place is that holds all of the souls of the damned that's been there since the beginning of time. We don't know how big that place is. But yet the Bible teaches us that hell, no matter how big it is, must enlarge its borders to accommodate so many people that's going to it. Had one fella tell me, and I don't have Bible to back this up, and I wouldn't tell you it's true. I don't even know if I don't even really believe it myself, but he said, you know what? He said, I believe that's what all these volcanic eruptions are. Hell has to enlarge its borders. Something's got to get spit out. Folks, you put something in, something else got to come out if it's full. You take that for what you want with it. Why would you take that choice? Why would you take that awful place called hell? Why would you take no assurance in this life? Why would you take no promise of joy and peace? Why would you accept that for when all else that God has done, all that Jesus has provided for you and I, why would you leave here this morning and leave here without choosing to walk through that gate? It'd be the most foolish, foolish, foolish choice you'll ever make. And I made it many times in my life. I walked out of many of a church service, Brother Jason, lost and on my way to hell. Foolishly not entering in that straight gate. But thanks be unto God who was long-suffering, not willing that I should perish, continually giving me another opportunity and another opportunity, till one day, Brother Mitch, I walked through that straight gate. And when I walked through, it was so narrow, it stripped all the trash right out of my life. He'd do the same for you today, but you have to enter. You have to enter. You've got to take the step and walk through the gate. Today you may be here, lost without Jesus. Folks, it's an eternal decision, and there's no second chances once life is over. Yes, God is the God of the second chance, but only in this life, not in the next. And you don't know when you've had your last second chance. I encourage and implore you today, by the love and grace and mercy of God, don't leave here today until you've walked through that straight gate. Would you stand this morning?